Hi everyone, my name is Johnny Scott and I'd like to welcome you to Phoenix On Demand, or POD as we like to call it. This is the 12th in our series of podcasts where we will be looking to help educate and hopefully entertain you on all things IT. So we have a special podcast in line for our listeners today. We are lucky enough to have a very forward-thinking, strategic public sector customer of ours here today to share their digital transformation journey with us, the reasons behind it, and some of the details around the projects they have underway. So to discuss further, I have three guests from our customer, Selby District Council: Jennifer Cluley, Business Transformation Officer; Mike James, Marketing and Communications Manager; and Stuart Robinson, Head of Business Development and Improvement. And I also have the Phoenix Account Manager of Selby District Council with me, Emily Woods. So, hi guys, how are we all doing?
All right, great, thank you.
Good. Thank you for joining us today. Can we start by going around each of you and just maybe having a bit of an introduction to yourselves and your roles within the council?
Okay, so my name's Mike James and I'm in charge of corporate communications and marketing, which basically means how we use communications to help the organisation deliver its priorities. So for this, this priority is about changing the way we do things to be more efficient. So it's how we use communications to help the deliver the project.
Brilliant. Thanks, Mike.
Hi, I'm Stuart Robinson, Head of Business Development and Improvement. I'm responsible for a range of back office functions at Selby District Council, things like HR and IT and communications, policy performance, things like that. And I guess all of those aspects are key to the transformation of the organisation, and that's kind of why we put that group of services together.
Sure.
So that's my role.
Mm-hmm. Jen?
Hi, I'm Jennifer. I'm a Business Transformation Officer, and that's essentially a project manager mixed with a change manager. I'm overseeing a number of projects within our current digital strategy. But the beauty of it is that I get to kind of roll my sleeves up and get on with some of the culture change and behaviour change that needs to happen alongside coordinating the IT technical elements of the project as well.
Brilliant. Thank you, Jen. And Emily?
Hi, I'm Emily. I'm the account manager for Selby District Council. So I work very closely with them from the start on this project to help them deliver it.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys. So we'll get straight into it. I've got a number of questions here. But let's all try and interject and make this as conversational as possible. I'm sure it's going to be great. So Stuart, first one for you. We've recently filmed part one of the Selby District Council digital strategy, with you describing the vision and what you wanted to achieve as an organisation looking to move to a modern workplace. For those that haven't seen this, please can you just give us a brief overview of why and what you're doing in the council?
Yeah, we're about 18 months into the digital strategy. I guess the headlines are that it's about using technology to deliver improved services for customers, make it a better place to work for our staff, and save money.
Yep, sure.
As we all have to do.
Sure.
In a bit more detail, we've got three strands to the strategy. We have a digital foundations strand, which is about putting in place the infrastructure, having the devices, making sure that we've got the governance and the security arrangements in place to make sure that we've got robust foundations on which to build our digital ambitions. So I guess that's the first part. Strand two is about digital customers, and that's around supporting them to access services in different ways. So it's about making sure that we create the opportunity for customers to access services online. And it's about supporting them to have the skills to do that as well. Mm-hmm. So it makes us much more efficient in terms of delivering services, but it also allows customers to access services when they want and in a way that they're now getting used to. In every other aspect of their lives, whether it's banking, whether it's retail or whatever, they're used to doing things online.
Yeah.
And council services should be no different. And the third strand is what we call a digital workforce. And that's the three key elements to that. One is about supporting our staff to be much more mobile, mm-hmm. Much more flexible in the way that they work, which makes them more efficient, which allows us to take services out to customers as well. It's about supporting our staff to collaborate much more effectively, whether that's internally or with our partner organisations. And it's about giving them the skills, yes, to use the new technologies that we're rolling out, but also it makes them much more employable. Great for us, but also supports them to be on their career journey, if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. And this sounds like a big, multifaceted thing where clearly lots of people have to be involved with this. How do you define that steering group and the people who are kind of responsible for each strand or a group of people that might be responsible for each strand?
We have a small team, mm-hmm. A small core team, but great as they are and the skills that they've got, we couldn't do it without engaging the rest of the organisation. And we do that. We have a steering group on which we have representatives from across all different service areas. Sure. And different levels of the organisation as well. So it's about understanding what we can do to make things easier for the organisation. And it's about engaging with comms. Yeah. And making sure that comms is front and central, really. I think our engagement has so far been really good with staff. We started early. We're doing it regularly, and we're trying to make it as kind of fun and involving as we can. Mm-hmm. But I guess those are the key ways.
Brilliant. So you mentioned comms there, and you looked straight at Mike. So Mike, what's your role within all of this?
As I mentioned at the beginning there, so my role is to look at how we can use communications to support the outcomes of the project. And as Stuart was saying there, for me, I want to see comms as being an integral part of how we deliver something rather than thinking of it as just a way in which we talk about other stuff.
Sure.
So in terms of the comms around this project, I mean, really there have been three key ways in which we've tried to use communications to deliver the project. The first one is about actually embedding it into the project, making it part of the solution. The second one is around being very people-centric about the approach, and that's about trying to understand what makes people tick. So there are people in the organisation who we know are early adopters of new technology, and they will absolutely run with it, and they'll love it, but they'll probably get bored quite easily. We know there's other people in the organisation who are who find it a real, real challenge sometimes to think in different ways, mm-hmm. And the comms approach for them is much more sort of inclusive. So that's about sort of pushing the benefits to their particular part of the world. It's about taking the training and support to them so they don't have to take actions to access that sort of support. So it's trying to understand how different people operate in the organisation to try and build some consensus and build some engagement. And then the third thing is just trying to apply some elements of behaviour change to our comms work as well. And behaviour change is a really, really tough thing to do. But there are there's a certain science behind some of it. And in local government, we can benefit from the work that goes on in central government, for example, around research and development into the type of comms activity that helps people to change behaviours. Mm-hmm. And there are certain frameworks that central government use that we've tried to apply and we need to apply to the comms as we roll out the devices. And one of those key frameworks is called the EAST framework. And that framework basically sets out how you need to make your communications easy, attractive, social and timely. So there are certain things you can do. For example, if you tell someone that everyone else in the room is doing something, everyone else in the department's doing something, or everyone else in the organization is doing something, the fear of missing out, the fear of not being part of the crowd will make them do it.
Yeah.
So that's about making your communication social. So it's the power of that sort of social change. Mm-hmm. If you make people pledge their support for something, it's much more likely, research shows it's much more likely that they will end up taking an action that they've pledged support for. So we've tried to apply that sort of principle to some of our work with our digital champions, which is a group of staff across the organisation who are trying to push out the positive comms around the project. So the three ways I think comms can help is one is to think about it as an integral part of the delivery of the project. The second is to think about people. People are at the heart of it. And the third thing is applying some science of behaviour change behind it.
Yeah, brilliant. And we do hear this time after time, and I'm sure Emily will back me up, that in a lot of the public sector organisations that we work with, there seems to be some sort of disconnect between IT and the users. And that sounds like a great framework, to be honest, and a great way of approaching it.
And I think the key is, one of the key things is stories. We need to try and tell stories, and it's a really, really difficult thing to do, especially when at this stage of the project. But as humans, we are predisposed to storytelling from a very young age. Mm-hmm. And if we can try and create some narratives around what we're doing, because stories have a... Stories can be quite formulaic. So if you go and see a Hollywood film, for example, the formula is basically there's someone's got an issue to overcome, they overcome that issue, and then the world's a better place once they've overcome it. It's pretty formulaic, to be honest. Mm. And so stories, all good stories have a beginning, a middle, and an end. I know it sounds really simple, but actually it's trying to create those stories in the work. So as we roll out the new tech, I'd like us to be able to create stories of people who have had a problem. The new tech and the new ways of working has helped to solve that problem and explain how the world is a better place because of it. Sounds quite grand, but actually it's just about putting stories into everything that we do.
So another question for you, Stuart, and yourself, Jen, as well. So now that this transformational project is underway and all of the various solutions such as Windows 10, Office 365, Teams are starting to be implemented, how are you finding it and what challenges have you faced so far, if any?
I think there are challenges, and seeing the new software, seeing the new ways of working is really exciting. And I think as particularly as senior managers, we're bought into it, but we're not quite sure how it's going to work. And you know, we know we want to be more flexible. We know we want to be more mobile. But actually, what if we lose control? Yeah. And things like that, I think are things that we are exploring as senior managers and exploring with. With our teams as well, so I think that's one. And I think the other aspect is in terms of, yes, we can see the software, we can see what functionality, you know, it's supposed to bring, but how does it really work in practice? So actually, you know, getting some hands-on experience and the way that the team has actually been showing, you know, everyone around the organization, just, you know, what's it look like? You know, what can you do with it? And I think that is helping us kind of, even before some of this stuff is rolled out, it's helping us kind of get a feel for what benefits we might get from it, how we might utilize it and things like that. So that's from my perspective, some of the challenges about Jane.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'd like to pick up as well of what you said, Johnny, about the disconnect between IT and end user that happens often in these sorts of projects with other councils that I've spoken to. And I think that's the beauty of my role being transformation, is that it's not IT and I am an end user and can help to take people on
that. So to a user,
that.
You're more relatable.
I've got the new kit, I've got the new stuff, and I can see what people's fears are and anticipate them and work away around how I work with Mike to communicate those stories and changes. One of the key challenges has really been aligning all the different projects. So when I speak to other organisations about moving from Windows 7 to Windows 10 and Office 365, it's very much, well, we'll do the Exchange and then we'll do our SharePoint and we'll do Windows 10 and four or five separate projects. Oh, and then we might refresh all the hardware as well. And it'd be nice if we had some culture change. For us, we're doing it all.
Yeah.
And so in the last 6 months, it's been a real challenge to align technically all the things that need to happen and not lose the excitement and engagement of the workforce as well, not promising things too early, not peaking and then not delivering and having that timing right. Everybody laughed back in May when I said, right, we're going to deliver this in November. But we're doing it now, and so it's been really good, really big challenge, but we're getting there with it.
Brilliant. So Jen, just on that, so you know, you mentioned there that you're quite integral to this project. How are you seeing the impact that the new solutions and devices are having on the users, and what are their reactions when they can see their life getting easier whilst they're using this technology?
Yeah, so it is early days, but the biggest amazement is that it works and how easy it is and how familiar they are actually with it. So we don't have instant messenger. We didn't have instant messenger. We didn't have video conferencing. And we really were working in the dark ages. And people are quite reticent and frightened about this. What's it going to mean? But now we're starting to roll out the instant chat. Oh, well, this is just like WhatsApp. This is just like Facebook.
And are you finding more interaction between teams that maybe wouldn't have interacted so much in the past? Has there been an increase in that? Yes,
I think so. But I think more cross teams and where people perhaps worked from home before, just they were siloed.
Okay.
I don't even know if we really thought about picking up the phone to talk to. If they were working at home, they were not in the office. Whereas now it's easier to communicate with each other, to drop a little chat, to have that video conference, face-to-face chat that you need still that you would have in the office.
It is strange. I certainly find that you approach your emails in a very programmatic way, and you know, you'll prioritise them, and maybe you won't respond to something as quick as the sender maybe wants you to. But when it's in that kind of chat environment, it's quite easy, it's less formal, but you can get a quick answer from someone. I've certainly found a benefit in that here at Phoenix. So I can absolutely see why that would replicate at the council. So, Emily, hi. As the account manager here at Phoenix and responsible for helping Selby make these changes and advising on the right move for them, How are you seeing the project, and do you have any other customers that are looking at doing the same thing or in a similar fashion right now?
So we'll start with the project. I've been involved with it with Jem from the beginning, and I think that the project so far hasn't been without its challenges, but it's definitely, you know, we've definitely met some of those deadlines that we talked about, and it's been a learning curve for everybody, really. Mm. It's been really nice to see things moving and progressing and them starting to realise the benefits of the new technology as well. But I think as well it's helped boost that relationship we've got together. So the relationship pretty much started at the beginning of this project. And I think that through overcoming challenges together and working across those different projects, we've definitely grown that relationship as well. And it's been really nice to work together.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of other councils, there's a lot of other local councils now that I think, having heard of Selby's transformation project and the ambitions that the district council have had, have started to pick up on that as being something they'd like to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I've actually got a few other councils now who are calling up and asking, you know, can we do something similar? And, you know, want to learn from the experience that Selby have gone through themselves as well. So it seems to be something that a lot of people want to do now.
Yeah. I have to say, after having watched the video case study that we've had written up so far, you know, it certainly hits home as to the scale of the project that's been undertaken and how successful it's been even already. I can absolutely see why that's happening.
Yeah.
What's been really good is having Emily or Phoenix on the end of the phone for other questions that have come up. So, you know, what are we going to do with our kit at the other end?
Sure.
The old kit.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, Emily, what could I do with my old kit? and Phoenix, and there's been a number of those quick, oh, I need this solution, can you help me?
Mm-hmm.
And we've worked together to get on with all these smaller bits as well around the project to help keep it all tidy, and that's been really good.
Yeah.
And what was important to you guys when selecting a partner to embark on this journey with?
I think I was just thinking then when you were talking, Jan, I think having an implementation partner who has done it before, who has done it in different places, and because actually, you know, we're only going to do this once.
Yeah,
I hope. actually, it can be, you know, doing all this stuff at the same time as doing other aspects of our digital stuff. It's quite scary, and actually knowing that you've got, as Jen says, knowing you've got someone at the end of the phone who's you know got other experiences of you know. I'm sure that question will have come up before. Do you know what I mean? And it's having that experience at the end of a phone or you know when you meet face to face that is critical actually. And it's a bit of a comfort blanket, I guess. But you know, we're spending a lot of money. We're aiming to make a great transformation, and it's a big risk for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about mitigating that risk as much as we possibly can. And we feel that by choosing Phoenix, that's essentially what we've done.
Yeah, it's good to hear.
It was also understanding that you guys knew about public sector. So we had some really big ambitions and transformation program, and we knew that you guys could do it, but that you understood the challenges and the pace that public sector can go through as well. So you weren't going to rush us or likewise hold us up or deprioritize us in any way to deliver what we needed to do. And the pace changes, doesn't it, Emily? Sometimes it feels like it's really slow, and then suddenly it's like, oh, loads gets done all at the same time, and then it slows down again. But Phoenix have been very understanding and patient with us on that as well, and I think that's been really important.
And I think if I may just add something as well, there's a lot of the other stuff that happens around the project by working with you. That from my point of view, I spend my life trying to raise the profile of my organisation, and actually having a partner who we can come and do things like this with, this podcast, we can make the films with, that we can actually tell our story beyond the boundaries of our district and explain to the world why we are a forward-thinking council is really, really important for me, because it helps things like recruitment and retention. It helps our profile amongst the local government family. And it's having all those extra bits in there as well, which are sometimes forgotten, but it's the softer stuff that really benefits us as well.
That's great to hear again. So what's next on the agenda as part of this project or a future project? What are the initiatives going on at the minute that are coming up?
There are two or three significant projects that are currently ongoing, actually. So we are rolling out a new housing management system, for example, which is a significant investment for us. I think the biggest thing for us going forward is looking at organisational development and culture shift within the organisation. And obviously, this particular project is integral to that.
Yeah. And that's something that clearly needs constant attention and updating and feedback and communication.
Absolutely. But as I touched on it before, you know, there's aspects of workforce development, learning and development, communications, all of these things, you know, organisational policy and direction, performance management, all of these things come together, and if we are to truly transform this organisation, all of those things have to be kind of integrated, and all pointed in the right direction. I think that is our, notwithstanding the individual projects, I think that is our biggest challenge over the next kind of couple of years. Okay.
Our customers are already there, and we're there as a workforce, as customers, booking our holidays online and our shopping online, and we need to bring the technology into the workplace that enables us to change our culture and our work processes to match how we think and want to work to meet our customers' needs.
It's a phenomenal task, and you know, it sounds like there's a lot of great work going on, so you know, we have to hand it to you. You know, we're not just saying it, we do genuinely see you as a very forward-thinking council, and you know, that's the reason we wanted you here today to talk about that and share that. So it's fantastic. So, Mike, what are you doing to support the users of these new solutions and ensure that they're adopting and using them to the fullest? And how do you drive their productivity?
Well, from my point of view, it's about engagement with people. And we've touched on quite a lot of this stuff already. But really, the principles of the communications need to be around storytelling. We need to be responsive to our audience in terms of how we're delivering that comms, how we're delivering those messages. But a real big thing for me, actually, is about trust as well, and understanding who people in the organisation trust. And we've just touched on some stuff there around culture change. You said yourself that culture change is something that is ongoing. Absolutely, it's something that we need to keep on pushing. And to me, the way to push culture change is around building trust in the organisation. And there's a saying that it doesn't matter what you say, but actually it's about what people hear, and what people hear depends on whether or not they trust you. And so we need to think about actually who do people in our organisation trust, and then make those people into our advocates for what we want to do next, which is about changing the culture of our working environment. And so from a communications point of view, that's sort of building that trust, being responsive to people's needs, and telling stories about how people are using the communications is the way in which we can use comms to deliver on the outcomes of the project.
So one final question to all of you, I guess. If there are people out there listening to this and they're wanting to make this happen for their organisation, what would your advice be to them?
I guess it's know why you're doing it. Understand why you're doing it. What is it that you are wanting to get out of it? What are your know, if you do nothing else, what is it that you need to achieve? Mm-hmm. I think that's the first thing. The second thing is obviously having a plan and some resources to do it. But and the third thing for me is to make sure that you involve the wider organisation and engage effectively. Mm-hmm. And that is as much important from the very top. You know, the chief executive really bought into the transformation that we're trying to achieve, as it is all of the staff at the front line. And I think that engagement is front and central to success.
And it's something that we've touched on in a number of other our podcasts as well. It's what's the risk of not doing it? There's a skills shortage in the technology industry, public sector particularly are a victim of that. These users who are wanting to use this technology in the way that they feel they should be able to, potentially just go elsewhere. And it's retaining that talent and staff as well, that, you know, the soft things that you don't think about in terms of an IT infrastructure, but it's all the byproduct of that as well, something we've touched on. Do you think that's probably a consideration as well?
I think the sustainability of the organisation is absolutely a consideration, and whether that's a financial sustainability and whether that's the sustainability of the workforce, as in keeping the ones that you've got, developing the ones that you've got and recruiting new ones. Mm-hmm. And I think that absolutely it's critical.
Okay.
We have historically had a recruitment issue. And if we can sell the organisation as very forward thinking, as you know, you have the opportunity to work from home, you have the best kit that we can provide, mm-hmm. you have all of this. It's well recognised as a great attraction for future employees.
I think from a Phoenix point of view as well, I'd say the advice would be not to be afraid to make the change. I actually had a lady ring the other day from a different council, and she said she's afraid of breaking the council. And it sort of reminded me of when we started, and, you know, Jen, you shared your concerns with me about how, you know, you needed to get people on board, and you wanted to make sure it was all done properly, and, you know, that you weren't going to, nothing was going to break. I just think that obviously Phoenix have the expertise to help these projects come alive. So I think that, you know, pick up the phone, don't be afraid to actually make any of those changes as well.
Just building on from what both of you, Stuart and Emily, have said there as well, my biggest thing is realising that I'm not on my own. Mm-hmm. There are actually other, my colleagues, the teams around me are all wanting to make these changes happen as well, and wanting the new technology. And so it's that early engagement piece. I'm not on my own. I don't have to come up with this vision, and I don't have to come up with all the answers, and I don't have to overcome all the risks and challenges myself. By engaging really early with a good group across the organisation, they've given me the information, the answers, the solutions, the vision that we need to move everything forward as well. So.
And we aim as well to be an extension of that for you, so, you know, to help you have that support as well. So I think it's overall, it's been really good.
Brilliant. And I think there is support available for all different aspects of it. So there's the project management support, but then in terms of some of the other stuff that happens around it, support around storytelling and behaviour change, there's loads of stuff out there. So you are never just making it up as you go along. Mm. There's always something there.
The great thing is it's internal, though. So if you want to have some fun and try something different, this is the sort of project to do it on, because...
Yeah, rather than risking it on customers or citizens, for example.
We're only a microcosm of what's happening out in the wider world. Mm. And so if we find some good bits of comms that work internally, then we can use them when we talk to our customers. If we find things that don't work, then we don't have to embarrass ourselves.
It's a very good point. Mm.
Just to add to that, I think what we've tried to do through this project is try different stuff as well, in terms of trying to be responsive to how different people consume information. Mm. And so we've tried making our own podcast, for example, based on the success of yours, of course. but, you know, some of it works with some people some of the time, and that's good enough. And I don't think it was good enough for me anyway. And I don't think we need to, I don't think you need to get too hung up on everything working all the time. Just try some stuff. Test it out, see if it works, and if it works, great, and if it doesn't work, it's fine, move on, you've learned a lesson.
Mm. It's permission to fail.
Yeah.
It is, and Emily mentioned about, you know, someone breaking the council. Actually, I think what historically with IT, we've nailed things down so tightly that actually, because we're scared that people are going to break them, or people are scared they're going to break it themselves, actually it's about giving people the freedom to explore and explore the new device that we've given you. Yes, explore the software and what it can do for you. You really aren't going to break it.
And if you find something that can help you do something better than before, great.
Absolutely.
And share it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That's fantastic, guys. Thank you all for joining us today. It does mean a lot to have a customer in with us. So that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening, and we hope you found it of use. Please get in touch if you want to discuss any points further. If you want to support what we do, please share and subscribe, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pod. Thank you.